I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning comes from the 22nd chapter of Matthew. We'll be reading verses 34 through 46. When the Pharisees heard he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, "What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David by the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tim. I love this particular scripture because it says so much about how Jesus could take the words of the Old Testament and bring meaning to them in a way that no one had been able to do before. This scripture is what we would call a showstopper. Notice, he had already silenced the Sadducees, then he talks to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees walk away. They have nothing else to say. They wanted to trick him. They thought, well, we'll stump him. Well, this guy comes out here saying this stuff, but I don't think he knows what he's talking about, so we'll stump him. Well, of course, that did not work. Their efforts backfire on them again and again as they try to trick Jesus. But that's just part of the story. In fact, in this story, Jesus stumping the Pharisees and Sadducees is a very small thing indeed compared to what he makes them aware of. And I dare say what he makes us aware of. Something I'm not so sure many of us are aware of. At this point, I'm going to tell you, I know years ago I mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again. One of my favorite movie series is Harry Potter. I don't know how many of you have ever seen Harry Potter. And I don't know how many of you have even seen one movie, let alone the series. But it has within it something I believe all followers of Jesus should love and appreciate. Because in truth, what it has is the very essence of the teaching of Jesus that we just heard Tim read. And like the Pharisees and Sadducees, the people in these movies just don't get it. They don't get that basic truth. Kind of weird. You know, Jesus is there. God's trying to speak to them through His Son. They're not listening. It kind of reminds me of the guy, this solicitor called a home one day, and a small voice whispered, "Hello." He says, "Hello, what's your name?" Still whispering, the voice says, "Jimmy." "How old are you, Jimmy?" "I'm 4. "Good. Is your mommy home?" "Yes, but she's busy." "Okay, is your daddy home?" He's busy too." "I see. Who else is there?" "The police." "The police? May I speak to one of them?" "They're busy." "Any other grown-ups there?" "The firemen." "May I speak with a fireman, please?" "They're all busy." "Jimmy, all those people in your house and I can't talk with any of them, what are they doing?" He says, "Looking for me." You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees have been programmed that the Messiah has to look a certain way, say a certain thing, do a certain thing, and they're looking for the Messiah, and he's standing right in front of them. But they had no idea, because they were programmed to believe the Messiah was going to be a certain way, and he wasn't. What do you do? I mean, even the Sadducees and Pharisees, they had a preconceived notion of what the Messiah would do. That's why they didn't accept Jesus, because Jesus didn't do what they thought the Messiah would do. I can picture God saying to Jesus, "Why is it I'm not able to speak to them through you? What are they doing?" And Jesus says, "Looking for me." They're looking for the Messiah. I'm standing right in front of them, but they don't get it. By nature, we become so involved in our lives and our work and our daily to-do list, we fail to recognize what is right in front of us. The glory and splendor of God is all around us, and we don't see it. We fail to recall and to live the teachings of Christ. God is saying to us each and every day, "Are you home? Will you speak to me?" And he gets no response because we're too busy looking for him where he's not. We want him to be convenient for us. That is, to be where we want him to be, not where he is. We want him to look like we want him to look, not what he actually looks like. Do you know what he actually looks like? He looks like each one of you, because he lives in you. And oftentimes we're looking right at God in an opportunity, and we miss it because we don't recognize God, just as the Sadducees and Pharisees. In Harry Potter, the term "the chosen one" is used, but few believe Harry is the chosen one because he doesn't look like they expect. God presents himself in the people we meet on the street, in our workplace, and yes, even in our homes. And we don't always recognize him when he's there. The Sadducees and Pharisees became hyper-focused on Jesus. Why? He felt he had any authority to teach or do anything. I'm focused on this. Why do you feel like you have authority? Who gave you that authority? They also wanted to know whether he understood Scripture. But they were blind to his teachings. He understood Scripture. They were blind to his miracles and his example. They were blind to all of it. They could see it right in front of them, but they could not believe their eyes, because guess what? He didn't look like and do what they thought he should do. And because of their blindness to the meaning, they only saw him as human, not holy. Are we like that? Is that you? You're looking for a human Jesus, but not a holy Jesus? In his book, an anthropologist on Mars, neurologist Oliver Sacks, tells about Virgil, a man who had been blind from early childhood. When he was 50, Virgil underwent surgery and was given the gift of sight. But as he and Dr. Sacks found out, having the physical capacity for sight is not the same as seeing. Virgil's first experiences with sight were confusing. He was able to make out colors and movements, but arranging them into a coherent picture was more difficult. Over time, he learned to identify various objects, but his habits, his behaviors, were still those of a blind man. Dr. Sacks said, "One must die as a blind person to be born again as a seeing person. It is in the interim, the limbo, that it is so terrible." For the Sadducees and Pharisees and for us, to truly see Jesus and his truth means more than observing what he said or did. It means a change of identity from human to holy. Think about what Jesus just presented to the Pharisees. You think he's human. You think he's the son of David. But why would David worship his son who sits at the right hand of God? It says it in Scripture. Jesus says, look at it. Where did they get that? For the Sadducees and Pharisees, and again for us, to truly see Jesus' truth, we must think of Jesus in terms of the Son of God, not the Son of David. Think of him as spirit, not as a physical human being. For the Jewish people of Jesus' time, and for many today, including many of us, we Christians, we want and feel we need a Messiah, a Christ. We can see and who performs miracles. We can see what he did. We can see it as we read it. Oh my gosh, I can picture him speaking to people and it's so pretty. And I read about this miracle and he's walking on water and that's impressive. But if we never read or hear of one miracle that Jesus performed, would we believe? Is that it? If he didn't do a miracle, then I really can't believe in him. For other Christians, if God had never sent Jesus in human form, we may not believe in God. After all, seeing is believing. For the Jews, although Jesus was in human form, he was not the hero who swept into Jerusalem, wiping out the Romans, and sitting on the throne of David. He didn't do that. Well, then he's not it. We ought to just kill him. God had and has a great deal of criteria to meet for his people, does he not? Let's see. He says to himself, when I send my son, he needs to fulfill my chosen people's expectations of being human. And sitting on the throne of my servant David in Jerusalem, and my other children need someone who is human and will perform miracles. And I understand, after all this, they may or may not believe. Poor God. If he tried to please every one of us, what a mess we would be in. Well, let's move along. Listen again to these verses. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then? David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Showstopper. Think about it. This passage is absolutely beautiful. In all that we read, it's right here. This is the crux of the message that Matthew gives us. As I said earlier, the Pharisees and Sadducees expected and still do a human who will sit on the throne of David and rule over Jerusalem, in fact, over the world. And this human will not only be on David's throne, but be a son of David, not God. Is that how you picture it? I want a human being to come and do all these things that only God can do. But Jesus takes that expectation and blows it away with these words. How is it then that is David himself by the Spirit calls him Lord? Who among us refers to their child as Lord? That's the question. Then he adds, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. No doubt. Looking at the Pharisees, Jesus says, if David calls him the Messiah, Lord, how can he be his son? That's where it all is right there. Jesus takes their concept of a superhuman and turns it into a holy person who's not just a person, but the Son of God. Which, as we all understand from this, Lord is what you call God. So if the Messiah is called Lord, then he must in fact be the Son of God, not David. Therefore, the Pharisees are looking for something that not only wasn't promised, but someone who doesn't exist. What they were looking for is someone, or was someone, who was a human Messiah, when in fact God promised a holy Messiah, the Son of the Almighty God. So Jesus comes, he stands, he speaks to us, and we see him, and we say, yeah, we need more humans like him. Do we? Is not God in this sanctuary right now? Does not God exist in our homes and in our workplace and everywhere we go? For most of us, I believe we need a human to connect with. It is our nature. We talk about, the doubting Thomas phrase. You see and believe. Blessed are those who do not see and believe. It's ongoing that for whatever reason, we want something we can see. And so when we hear the stories of Jesus, we go back and say, yes, he was human. And that's what helps me to believe. What if that didn't happen? What if God had not sent his Son? Would you still believe? Would you be impressed with the world that God has created? With the people that God has created? Well, because we do have that need, in God's infinite wisdom, he realized that need and sent his only Son to us, but requires we see beyond the human into the holy. Does that mean we see miracles? How many of us have seen the kind of miracles that we read about in Scripture? I submit to you, we see miracles every day. But they are not necessarily like what we read in Scripture. Scripture tells us God performs miracles. Doesn't say he does the same miracle all the time. If we have to see miracles to believe, if we have to see a human being to believe, then hear these words. This is from Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It all depends on that. Nowhere does Jesus say, and you must believe and accept me, because if you don't see me every day, if you don't hear me every day, then this is all for naught. What he tells us is that you can see me in you and the people around you. That's what he's telling you. Love your neighbor. You know why? Because my Father is in your neighbor. The love of God is in your neighbor. Do you see and believe, or do you hear and believe? Frankly, for centuries now, Jesus isn't walking the earth, but we hear the word and believe. As much as we may want to see what we've done and what we'll celebrate next Sunday with All Saints, is those before us have passed that faith on that we believe without seeing. In Harry Potter, the message is love wins over death. That's the message. In our scripture, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the message is love wins over death. I died, you'll live forever. Love wins over death. Hanging on all the law and the prophets is love. Love of God and love of neighbor. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. He made that clear before he ever put anything else out there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Because love wins. See the holy, not the human. The message that Jesus gave to the Pharisees. He had already shut down the Sadducees. The Pharisees come along and try again. And he says, here's the thing. You're looking in all the wrong places. God's love is standing right in front of you. Standing right in front of you. And you can't see me. Let us go forth from this sanctuary today realizing that every human being has God in them. They are created by God. And there is always an opportunity to learn from our neighbor and to love them. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you all too often, we're looking for things that we shouldn't even be looking for. Yet you are right before us. Your heart, your soul, your love, everything that your Father sent you to do is here in our books and in our minds and in our hearts. Your Father said that he would write his word on our hearts. May we look there and understand it's not about being human. It's about being holy. In your Father's name, amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.